for bringing us all here. It's no coincidence, no accident that we are here. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to open our hearts, to open our ears, to come to us in a way that maybe we've never had that happen before. Maybe it's always been kind of a go to church, go home thing. But today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fill us to overflowing. That as we see this story of your going into Jerusalem in triumph, that we understand what it fully means to us, and that we take that home with us, and that it changes us from the inside out. We commit this service into your hands, and we pray for your presence. We pray that you are right here next to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about palms, only because we're going to talk a little bit more about it a little bit later. In your bulletins, you do have some information on palms. Very interesting. Just going to go over a little bit of a brief description and talk about it so that it can get us to understand what the reason behind the palms on Palm Sunday were. First of all, palms are known as the tree of the Bible. The leaves of the palms are called fronds, not fronds. F-R-O-N-D-S. Close. The date palm was considered to be the tree of life. Palm trees were created to bend, not break. Historically, palm leaves have been the symbol of peace and victory. In Christianity, they're seen as a symbol of victory over the good and faithfulness triumphing over evil. They're mentioned numerous times in the Bible. In Judaism, palms are one of the four species of plants used as part of both the traditional Sukkot blessing and the Hallel prayer to honor God. Palms have been here since the beginning of time, too, because they have fossil records of palms. And guess what? They look the same. They were used to build roofs. They were used to build walls of houses. They were built to make crates, fences, weapons, furniture. The smaller leaves were used material to fashion clothing, baskets, ropes, cooking tools, etc. In other cultures, the palm branch was used as a symbol of victory, triumph, peace, and eternal life. And so, all throughout the world, the palm has held a special place. You know, it's interesting because the Latin word palma was used synonymously with victory. And the Romans would talk about palma, and that was victory. In fact, lawyers were known to put palm leaves all over their doors when they won a case. Interestingly enough, the goddess, they're the Roman goddess, Victory, which is Nike, and now you know. You wear that little check mark on your shirt or on your shoes. You're wearing a symbol of the goddess of victory. She is shown holding a palm frond, and again, exampling victory. Early Christians used the palm branch to symbolize the victory of the faithful over the enemies of the soul, as in the Palm Sunday festival. and the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Christian art has been used commonly. Martyrs were often shown holding palm fronds as an attribute representing victory of the spirit over flesh. Why did they believe that a picture of the palm on the tomb of someone meant that they were a martyr? In the 10th of April, 1688, the Congregation of Rites decided that palm fronds on catacomb tombs were regarded as proof that a martyr was buried there. So we have two images of palms. Obviously, the palm used in the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but also Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Do you know about that scripture? The next picture just shows what it might be like. You know, the palm has held great symbolism, not only in the world, but also Christian faith. And so we celebrate and we worship Jesus, the Messiah, on Palm Sunday, celebrating that time when he entered in Jerusalem and they laid palm branches and waved them as he came into the city. The people were celebrating the possibility of a king. You see, because they felt that Jesus was coming as a king who would bring victory to Israel. They were under the bondage of Rome. And I want us to look at a couple scriptures because it gives you the reason why the Israelites felt this. So I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 9. That's 10:28 in your pew Bibles. 10:28 in your pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." One other scripture comes out of chapter 11, 10:32, just a couple pages over, actually. And looking at verses 1 through 12, Isaiah chapter 11 starts in verse 1. It says, "The shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch," notice, is capitalized, "will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra. The young child put his hand into a viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy or on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria to the lower Egypt to upper Egypt, from Cush to Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble and scatter people of Judah from all the four, assemble the scattered people from the corners, four corners of the earth, people of Judah. All this is to say that the people looked at this and they knew these scriptures, they knew these prophecies. And all these prophecies were talking about somebody who's going to bring the nation of Israel back. Somebody who's going to solidify their standing, who's gonna kick out all the enemies from their land. And they saw Jesus as the fulfillment of that prophecy. I mean, the week before Palm Sunday, he healed Lazarus. All along, he'd been confronting the corruption of the chief priests of the temple and the Pharisees. He showed a glimpse of true power and authority. The people saw a king who would rule with truth and rid them of Rome. That's what they saw. And so as he came into Jerusalem that day, as he came down that Mount of Olives on that road, the people saw a king who was riding on the foal of a donkey, a colt, just like the prophecy said. Now Judas, he saw it too. Now I want to explain a little bit about Judas. Judas really saw one who could take over and become the king of Israel and kick Herod out and kick Rome out. And so he had a plan. His plan was, go to the chief priests and betray him. Say, you know, I'll tell you anything you want. Because you know what? Judas sees all these people coming down, putting all palm branches on, saying, victory, Hosanna in the highest. He sees all this going on. And he says, if anybody can do it, Jesus could do it. So I'm just going to force his hand a little bit. I'm going to turn him in. And then there'll be a riot. And all the people will rise up and save him. And then they'll kick Rome out, they'll kick Herod out, and they'll follow behind Jesus, and we'll have a king finally. A righteous king. He knew Jesus was righteous. There was nothing they had on him. The people saw it too. John chapter 12, 1637, in your few Bibles. John chapter 12. Starting in verse 13, describes it. Great crowd had come for the feast and heard Jesus was on his way. And so in verse 13, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey, sat upon it, as it is written in Zechariah. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. All this is done just as it was written. And the people were thinking, wow, he's finally here. We can finally have peace. Luke chapter 19, I want you to go back to that. 1600. Luke chapter 19. Another scripture of his triumphal entry. And I'm reading this because I want us to understand how amazing this day was. Starting in verse 37, basically says the same thing, coming down the Mount of Olives. A whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Everything he had done, healings and bringing people back to life like Lazarus, and then raising people up from being paralyzed for life. He healed all these people. And they're celebrating now. In verse 38, it says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Well, some of the Pharisees in the crowd who had already been tongue-lashed came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They shouldn't be calling you king. They shouldn't be lifting you up like that. I mean, this is ridiculous. What's going on here?" Verse 40 is so great. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." That shows how great he was. How an amazing God, an amazing Messiah he was. When you think about that, you know, the people weren't all that crazy to do what they're doing. I mean, I would be thinking the same thing. We're under this oppression. Rome is bearing down on us. They've done things that are unspeakable. In fact, they were even putting idols of theirs in the temple of God. The people were ready to riot. And now they see a leader who could do it. But Jesus had a different way. And later they found out. His victory wasn't over the victory over the nations. It was a victory over sin. A spiritual victory. Jesus' prayer in the garden shows that. He got down on his knees and prayed so fervently. Blood came from his forehead. Now that's pretty fervent. I've yet to pray that fervent. But he prayed that way, calling for the Father, if there was some way to take the cup away, some way that this could be done without him going to the cross. And we know it. There wasn't. And Jesus was willing to do it for the victory. You know, Jesus, he shares an important principle in this day, one that we need to take note of. You're probably looking for something really profound, but it's not quite that profound. We should take each day as it comes, enjoying the presence of every day. Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem, I don't think he was thinking about Calvary. I think he was enjoying and soaking in what was happening right then and there. The people waving the palms, laying them down in front of him, recognizing who he was, seeing that, yeah, he is the King. But like so many times in our own lives, we try to interpret what God wants, instead of going to the Scriptures and seeing what God really wants. Now, these people and Judas thought they had it all figured out. Judas, of course, later on realized that he was used, that what he did was wrong. And so he ended up going back to the chief priest, remember? He threw the silver back. He said, "I can't do this." They said, "We don't care. We got what we wanted." And Judas went out and killed himself because of it. The questions that come up from this event is, Jesus your King? The King of your life? Do you celebrate Him as the Savior of your soul? Even in the midst of the turmoil in the world, and not to mention our own country. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of pain. A lot of craziness going on. But you know, in the craziness of the world at that time, that one day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, The people all rallied around him. Will you be a light? Will you praise the Lord even when it's not popular? Even when the religious leaders or the world says, "What's the matter with you? Why do you even talk about Jesus Christ? That's all past stuff, you know. But get into the today. Start thinking about, you know, the world and climate change. Let's start working on those things. Let's not be focusing on Jesus. Are we still going to say no? He is the King. He's my Savior. And if any time that we need Him now. Climate change, the ISIS, terrorists, bombs, shooting, political craziness. All those things mean nothing compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can bring us victory over sin. Only Jesus can bring us victory over this life. Only Jesus can bring us victory, period. We need to cling to Him. We need to focus on Him. We don't need to get embroiled and involved in this world and the politics of this world. Voting, yeah, go ahead and vote. But you know what? It may not go your way. But that doesn't matter. This country and this world is headed for destruction. But we are the only light that they have. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit of salvation that we have eternal life. You know, if we had a cure for cancer, if we went home and we had all the calculations and all the chemical whatever written down on a piece of paper and we knew it was the cure for cancer, what would you do with it? Stick it under your pillow and keep it to yourself? I doubt it. Now, you might be killed for it because nobody's going to want it out there. But the thing is that you would go out and you would tell people, "I've got it." And here we have the cure for the sin condition, for eternity separated from God in hell, or eternity with God in heaven. We have the cure. We need to tell it. We need to show it. We need to example it. And if you have a difficult time doing that, because it's hard, I know. It's hard to go up to somebody and start telling them about the Lord. Pray. Pray and pray. Because God will answer your prayers if you pray for those things. He's not going to answer the prayers, you know, of, "I want more money. I want more this or more that." Those prayers, you know what? That doesn't mean a thing in the scheme of eternity. What He wants to see in us is stronger Christians. People of integrity and commitment. People who will stand up for Him when nobody else will. And so that's what our challenge is in this world. Palm Sunday is an amazing day. Soak it in. But as the week progresses, the people turn their hearts and crucify Him. And we're not going to be any more popular in this world. Because the world, Satan, all that hates us. Will you still celebrate Him? Will He still be the most important part of your life? That's our question. And so this week, think about that. Put Him number one. Make Him the most important thing. You know, when when something really great happens in your life, you tell people. I hear people all the time say, "Hey, I saw this movie. You got to see it." You don't hear too often when somebody says, "Man, Jesus Christ, He's the best. He's the greatest. He'll save your soul. He'll give you eternal life and peace." We got to say it more. We got to do it more. Because this world is not going to hear it any other way. I'd like us to go to our last song that we have in our... It'll be up on the screen, and again, I've got three verses because I couldn't narrow it down to two, so we're going to do three. Let's all stand and sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."